Okay, let's dive right in and zero in on something you do or probably encounter countless times a day, often without even thinking about it.
What?
I'm talking about touch. How many times have you physically connected with another person today? A handshake.
Maybe a pat on the back.
Yeah, or just, brushing past someone. Now flip it. How many times has someone initiated physical contact with you? Think about that for a sec.
It's something we just do.
Totally. Now, contrast that with something completely different. Like, seriously, what's it like to touch a starfish or an eel?
Okay, yeah, wildly different sensations.
Right, exactly. And that immediate contrast is fascinating, I think.
It really throws into sharp relief just how varied our experience with physical contact can be, from the deeply human and familiar to
It's completely alien, yeah.
yeah.
And that's our mission today. We're taking a deep dive into the material you've shared with us, your notes on touch, as a nonverbal message.
It's arguably the most fundamental way we communicate. So natural, incredibly powerful,
Yeah.
without words.
It's just wired into us from the beginning, isn't it?
Yet for something so primal, it's also one of the most heavily regulated complex.
So true. We learn really early on these incredibly intricate rules about how we're allowed to touch.
Right, and who we're allowed to touch when, and maybe most critically, how not to touch.
Absolutely. So, drawing from this really fascinating stack of notes you've got, we're going to unpack the science, the sociology, the psychology behind it
I
all.
want to understand what makes touch so vital, yeah. The incredible range of messages it sends.
And how everything like our personal history, the culture we grew up in, how that profoundly shapes our relationship with it.
It's really about pulling back the layers on a form of communication that influences us constantly, often, below the level of conscious awareness.
Okay, so let's really unpack the sheer power of touch then. Your material highlights how early we start absorbing these unspoken rules.
Oh, yeah. Long before we have complex language skills, right? We're already getting these signals about what's okay, what's not.
And the findings are pretty stark regarding what happens when appropriate touch is, well, missing.
They really are. Studies like that one by Field back in, what, 1999, they connect touch deprivation during early development to some really severe outcomes.
Like potentially leading to violent behavior or depression later in adulthood. That's
Yeah.
significant.
It really underscores that touch isn't optional for healthy growth. It seems pretty foundational.
Wow. That makes you realize this isn't just about feeling good, it's tied to our very development and well-being.
Exactly. But here's where it gets really interesting look at the documented benefits your notes highlight.
Right. Turn that around.
Yeah, Field's research again, but from 2002 this time, showed that 4-month-old babies receiving physical contact, well, they smile more and cry less.
That's a measurable, tangible, positive effect right there in infancy.
And it absolutely extends into adulthood. There are findings showing that adult women who receive, loving hugs can actually have lower blood pressure.
Seriously, a simple hug potentially impacting a physiological marker of health. That's amazing.
And the psychological benefits are just as compelling. That Cohen study from 2006, it indicated that holding hands, just something simple like that, decreases fear.
And increases feelings of safety. So in moments of anxiety, that physical connection provides a real sense of security.
Yeah, touch can literally be a tool for emotional regulation, maybe even physical health benefits. It's remarkably potent.
But, and this is crucial, we have to remember the other side. A point also made clearly in your notes.
Absolutely. When touch is inappropriate or it's misunderstood, the consequences can be devastating.
Leading to significant emotional, physical, relational pain. Its power definitely cuts both ways,
No question.
which leads us nicely into considering our own sort of personal relationship with touch. The material introduces this idea from Anderson and Saul way back in 85.
Right, the toucher versus touch avoider distinction.
Yeah, it poses that question directly to you, the listener. Thinking about your interactions, where do you kind of fall on that spectrum?
And according to their distinction laid out here, touchers generally feel more comfortable both giving and receiving touch.
They're often described as more talkative, extroverted.
Less hesitant to communicate non-verbally, maybe less restricted by typical social touch norms.
Whereas touch avoiders, in contrast, are characterized as more reserved, perhaps shy, sometimes emotionally withdrawn.
And they tend to be more acutely aware of and sensitive to social touch norms and personal space boundaries. you know?
But crucially, the material makes it really clear this isn't some rigid, fixed personality type. It's not black and white.
Not at all. Your comfort level with touch often depends heavily on who you are with, the specific situation.
And it's influenced by things like your gender, your age, your cultural background. Loads of factors.
Yes, and it kind of makes sense that touch avoiders might be particularly attuned to those norms, given their potential sensitivity to unwanted or unexpected physical contact.
So maybe take a moment to reflect. Does that toucher or touch avoider idea resonate with you at all? And how might your own tendencies shift depending on who you're interacting with?
It's interesting stuff to consider about yourself.
Definitely. So this brings up an important question. Given all this variability and impact, how do we actually understand the specific messages different touches send?
Yeah, how do we decode it? Your notes delve into the actual language of touch.
It introduces a really fascinating concept called pi signs, coined by Morris back in 1971. What exactly are these signals?
Pi signs are essentially physical actions, often involving touch, that signal that a specific relationship exists between two people.
Okay, so they outwardly express a connection.
Right. And if performed in public, they also communicate the nature of that bond to anyone observing.
Like seeing a couple holding hands or maybe friends linking arms, you immediately get information about their relationship just through that touch.
Precisely. And your notes also mention that when relationships break down, touch behavior often shifts dramatically. People actively avoid physical contact.
Which itself becomes a powerful nonverbal signal, right?
Right.
The absence of touch.
Exactly. The material then walks us through various distinct kinds of touch, each conveying different messages.
Okay, let's break those down. There's playful touch, which could be affectionate teasing or maybe even a bit more aggressive sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on the context. Then supportive touch, communicating care and concern.
Appreciative touch, like a pat on the back to say good job or thanks.
Then you have controlling or directive touch, often used to, you know, guide someone physically or maybe assert dominance.
Oh, interesting. And unintentional touch, the accidental bump on the street, that kind of thing.
And unfortunately, punishing touch, intended to inflict pain or express anger, like a slap or a pinch.
They're more formalized kinds too, right? Ritualistic touch.
Yeah. Part of greetings or farewells, handshakes, hugs, kisses on the cheek, depending on the culture.
And task-related or functional touch, necessary to complete a job, like a doctor examining you or someone guiding your hand.
And finally, a positively affective or emotional touch. This explicitly communicates liking, affection, or even romantic or sexual interest.
Wow. It's incredible how many distinct messages can be encoded in just one physical contact.
Isn't it? Your notes also discuss how touch signals a desire for closeness and intimacy. Or, conversely, a desire for distance.
And it outlines different levels of intimacy conveyed by touch.
Right. There's impersonal or very private touch.
Yeah.
Then you have sort of functional, professional, or social touches.
Like the medical exam, getting your hair cut, a shoe fitting.
Exactly. Those are often pretty businesslike, with very low intimacy. They serve a specific purpose.
Makes sense. Then you move to friendship or warmth touches.
Yeah. Conveying affection, but generally not romantic interest. And then at the highest level, you've got love or intimacy touches.
Which express stronger feelings, mm-hmm. often involving more frequent and prolonged physical contact.
Seeing these categories really help us appreciate that even a simple touch is situated within this whole spectrum of meaning and intent.
And that meaning is massively influenced by forces outside of the immediate interaction itself.
Whoa, hugely. Your notes make it very clear that external factors profoundly shape how we touch and how we interpret touch.
Culture being a massive one.
Huge. Studies like McDaniel and Anderson's back in 98 reveal just vast differences across the globe. How often people touch, who touches whom.
Think about that contrast Gerard drew way back in 66, describing cultures like the USA and Canada as more touch deficient.
Compared to more tactile cultures, yeah, like in the Mediterranean or Latin America.
And Hall's distinction from 81 between contact cultures.
Right. Places like Latin America, France, Arab countries, where people tend to stand closer and touch more frequently during interaction.
Versus non-contact cultures like Germany, China, or Japan, where greater physical distance is preferred and touch is generally less common.
And culture deeply influences those ritual touches we mentioned. Your notes provide vivid examples.
Like the standard American handshake or maybe a brief hug versus the double cheek kiss common in Latin America, France, Italy.
Or even the variations seen in Saudi greetings involving hands on shoulders and cheek kissing. It's all culturally coded.
Culture also teaches us which body parts are typically considered safe to touch versus vulnerable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Richmond's work in 97 identified areas like the hand, arm, shoulder, upper back as generally safe in most non-intimate contexts.
While other areas are typically off limits.
Right. Then there's gender as another significant factor mentioned. Research by Bate in 88, for instance, suggests females are often more comfortable with touch.
And initiate hugs and embraces more frequently than males, generally speaking.
The material also notes that moms and couples tend to have the highest rates of touching overall, and women tend to engage in more same-gender touching than men typically do.
Interesting. Age matters too, doesn't it? Our touch behaviors evolve as we mature.
They do. And the stage of a relationship clearly plays a role. People in long-term relationships might touch differently, maybe less frequently.
Than those in the exciting early phases of a romantic connection. Yeah, that makes sense.
Power and status also subtly influence touch dynamics, though that's mentioned a bit more briefly.
But you can see how status might affect who initiates a handshake, perhaps, or how a touch on the arm might be perceived differently depending on who's doing the touching.
Absolutely. So bringing all these external forces back to you, the listener, how do you see your own cultural background, your gender, your age, or the specific relationships you're in?
How does all that influence your own comfort with touch? How does it shape how you give and receive physical contact?
It's clear that these factors weave this really complex tapestry of norms and expectations that govern touch in pretty much every interaction.
Which makes perfect sense of why, as your notes highlight, bodily contact perceived as inappropriate feels so profoundly intrusive.
Exactly. It's not just a physical discomfort. It's a violation of all those deeply ingrained behavioral expectations we've been talking about.
Shaped by culture, context, relationship. All of it.
It really serves as a potent reminder that while touch is vital and beneficial when it's aligned with shared understanding,
its potential for harm is equally significant when those subtle yet powerful boundaries are crossed.
Yeah.
So after this deep dive into the material you shared, what are the kind of key takeaways? We've journeyed from the fundamental power and impact of touch.
Seeing how essential it is for development, its surprising physical and emotional benefits, but also its capacity to cause harm.
We've explored personal variation, that idea of being a toucher or a touch avoider.
Understanding that our comfort level is fluid, you know, influenced by so many factors.
We've decoded the language itself, looking at tie signs that signal relationships.
The wide array of messages different touches send and the varying levels of intimacy they convey.
And we've examined the powerful external forces, culture, gender, age, relationship status.
All profoundly shaping how touch is performed and interpreted in our lives and, well, across the globe.
It's just a vast landscape of meaning packed into something as seemingly simple as physical contact.
Indeed. It really makes you look at everyday interactions a bit differently, doesn't it?
Totally. So here's maybe a final thought for you to sit with. Now that you've explored this material with us, what happens if you consciously become a more mindful observer of touch in your daily life?
Start noticing the tie signs you see between people around you. Pay attention to the ritual touches used in greetings and farewells.
How do the cultural and social norms we discussed actually play out in the interactions you witness or, you know, participate in?
What new level of awareness might you gain about this most basic, powerful form of human connection simply by observing it with a little more intention? Food for thought.